Welcome back in Steen on Sports. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website 1700thechamp.com. We have two Monday night football games on tonight. Saints and Panthers have a 6 o'clock pregame. Westwood One doing the coverage right here on the radio. Browns and the Steelers are going to be joined in progress. Tuesday, Twins are playing at the Reds. It's going to be joined in progress as well. Welcome in. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Lots of sports, high school football, college football, a lot to talk about today. Before we start talking about that, though, as always, we have to thank our sponsors. And I'm going to talk about them here in a little bit more in detail today as well. Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlands Medical Center. We had a couple of outings over on Thursday and Friday. That's why we weren't on the radio on Thursday and Friday. Thursday was the Rose Soiree for Broadlands Medical Center for their birthing aspect of Broadlands, their birthing center. My wife and I went, got to meet up and with a group that we have on the radio with Melissa, Nate, Izzy, met all kinds of people, Dr. Coleman, Vince. It was a was there with my friends Rob and Don. It was a great night. Did not know a lot about their birthing center, their staff, their operational lead in that unit. Wow. Some of the things that Broadlands is doing is it's quite amazing, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of. I have to say that. So that was kind of the front part of my weekend. The secondary part of my weekend was Scott and I played, and Nate played in a golf outing, and it was a golf outing for being able to get Christmas presents for underprivileged kids. It was a ton of fun. Diva Roofing is amazing. He's amazing. The family's amazing. And we played at Terrace. The course was amazing. It was a really nice day. And we enjoyed that. I know how much that's, you know, Scott and I try to find things that we both agree upon to go out and promote and do things and donate. And the two that we did this week are above and beyond. And I say that above and beyond cancer as well. We have done that as well. And we have a lot more to do, hopefully. After that, my wife and I, after the golf outing, we left and we went and picked up. I picked up a gift from Wisconsin. We were up in Milwaukee. We brought home my father-in-law's sister, Mary Ellen, and she is here with, oh my gosh. It almost made me cry. We went up and we picked her up, and she's at home with us and Nana. My assumption is that they are listening to the show as I speak. It's fun. It's great to have family around. I'm a little jealous as well. Another part of our family is getting to go to Red Rocks and see Sting perform live. I am super duper jealous about that. So it was a whirlwind of a weekend, and I loved every minute of it. And it's family, and that matters. And that's how Scott and I treat our people that we do, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance. It's family. And that's why we enjoy doing it. We wouldn't do this if it was just to sit here and talk on the radio. I mean, I love doing it, but you have to have a purpose. And I think we have a really good purpose. So hopefully everything continues to go along as it is. So I can't stop, and I can't do this, and I can't wait any longer. As always, it's a Monday. We have plenty of NFL to talk about. We have plenty of college football to talk about. We have some high school football to talk about. There are breaking stories everywhere. And I'm trying to think where I want to start. And I decided today when I was coming in that for every once in a while, it's more fun to talk about a team who won their football game. So I'm going to talk about Iowa and Western Michigan. We were on our way back from Wisconsin. We were getting close to Iowa City when they were getting ready to kick the game off. And Jen, I'm driving, and Jen's like, I think they may have a weather delay. It doesn't look good. And it really didn't look good. And I think they did have a little bit of a weather delay. It probably in the whole scheme of things might not have been the exact way that Iowa would want to play that game. I don't think they started out as well as they wanted to. But I think they gathered that momentum back in, and it was a good game. It was a good win. We'll talk about some of the stuff that's out there on social media, which I have a couple of things I want to say about that, but I pulled the box score up, and it's a game you needed to win. Western Michigan is not in Iowa's class. You got some extra playing time. Cade McNamara didn't have a great game. They didn't need Cade McNamara to have a great game. Deacon Hill came in and got a couple of pass attempts. They were down. I can't remember if they were down 10-0 and then they scored 14 in the second, so they went into halftime at 14-10, or if it was 10-7. I can't remember because I was listening to it on the radio. Here's some things that did. LeSean Williams had a great game, 12 carries, 145 yards. Kamari Moulton had two touchdowns. Max White had one. Their defense played really, really well, and they did what they needed to do with Western Michigan. So this is the part that I've trying to help myself out through today on what I really wanted to say. And it's about Brian Ferentz. It's about Gary Barta and his the road to what, however many points or whatever. And this was my thought process as I'm driving home, thoughts going in my head because I was driving, and I'm like, if I'm Sue Gettz, and from all accounts, everybody that's dealing with her, she's doing an amazing job. She fits right in. She's taken over. She has all this. I've said from day one, that was one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard in my life, was putting a point total out there as a validation point for you keeping your job. If anything, it should be a combination of wins and points. But still, and the fact that when he first put it out there, and if you're worried about your offensive coordinator, then it should be based on offensive points. University of Iowa football team scores a ton of defensive touchdowns. So the simple fact that they changed that narrative, it was a bad idea from the beginning. I think all of us agree it was a bad idea from the beginning. Listen, he coaches, they do well, he keeps his job. If he coaches and they don't do well and they don't show improvement, then you have to find somebody else. It's really easy. If I'm the new athletic director interim, I hope not for long. So gets, I'm going out and saying, you know what? I have talked to, I have talked to all the parties involved, and we do not think that having this out there is the way to help the Iowa football program. And with that being said, that is not a any shape or form have anything to do with his ability to be the offensive coordinator for the Iowa Hawkeye football team next year. We are going out here for these individual athletes in the football program, and we're going to do everything in our power to make this be the best that it can be for them. I get it, folks. And when I start talking about the Iowa State Cyclones, you're going to hear even more of this. I get the wins and losses. I get all of that. And the wins, well, here's what the wins and losses does. I agree with a lot of people out there that think very strongly that the NCAA in the near future is going to break off with, and you hear all kinds of different numbers. I think it'll probably be 30. I think it needs to be more than that because I think you can keep teams, in there and be competitive, even more competitive. And I think you're seeing that this year, that competitiveness between one team and another team, there's not that big a distinction. There's not a huge distinction between how good is this. I mean, anybody that had Shador Sanders being the Heisman frontrunner for Deion Sanders' Colorado Buffalo team and then having the season and that's the only thing everybody talks about. If you had that on your scorecard, you're lying. You didn't. I think people thought it was going to be interesting to see what Deion could do, but you know, Deion's Deion and he's a self-promoter and a team promoter but he's never shown that he can win at this level. Well, I think maybe he can. And I've said this all along that if you went to 60 teams with the way that NIL and the transfer portal and all of that is, that you could make 60 competitive teams. And you're looking at what's happening with NIL and the transfer portal right now. There is no dominating team out there. I mean, Alabama's not even in the top 10. And that's without losing a football game, which in years past, Alabama wouldn't have moved. If they were started the year at 1, 2, or 3, and just because they haven't played well, they'd still be 1, 2, or 3. They're 13th. And I think the main reason for that, and for Georgia, and for some of these other places, is if you're the 4th 5-star defensive lineman on your team, when do you actually think you're going to get playing time? That's what matters. That's what matters for NIL. That's what matters for getting drafted in the NFL. You have to have playing time. Quarterback play. I'm telling you right now that quarterback play, if you're going to Alabama where they want to run the football and they want to do it in their way, and you're a high-end quarterback, you're really going to go to Alabama? I don't know how good USC is going to be in the SEC. I know how good he is with quarterbacks. If I'm a quarterback, that's where I'm going. I'm going where Lane Kiffin is. He's good with quarterbacks. I'm not going where Brian Kelly is. I'm not going where Debo whatever his. I'm not going to Clemson. I'm not going to those places. I'm going somewhere where somebody runs an offense that I can get noticed and I can get drafted into the NFL. Because if you didn't watch football on Sunday, the NFL has a shortage of really good quarterbacks. And that's what it's going to be. And if you're a running back, you can't be the 6th running back on your team. You have to get on the field. It's going to change the way that college football is played. And if it changes the way that college football is played, that means there's going to be more parity. And nobody wants to hear that. The SEC doesn't want to hear that. Listen, the SEC, they're bringing teams in. They're not going to have 2 games out of the year, 3 games out of the year, that they get to play somebody that they're going to beat by 50 points. It doesn't help them get into a 12-team playoff. That's the first sticking point. How tough a schedule? What was your record? How tough a schedule? Okay, yep, you went 12-0. Look at your schedule. your schedule was horrible, that doesn't automatically make you be there. They have to come up. If you're going to 12 teams, you're going to have to come up with a scoring system that just doesn't go off of wins and losses depending on who you play. And a lot of these conferences that are going away from divisions and going into having to play everybody now geographically, which is fine, having that happen changes the way you have to coach your football team. There's not gimmies on your schedule, and the gimmies on your schedule haven't been working anyway, i.e. Iowa State this weekend. That comes up in the next segment, because here's what the University of Iowa Hawkeyes did. They went out and they did what they were supposed to do. They won their football games. And they're still dealing with injuries. They're still dealing with unknowns. But they went out and they did what they needed to do to win their football games. And they have their game against Penn State, which right now, it's their toughest game on their schedule. And if they could pull that out, this could be one of the best seasons that they've had in quite some time. And it's the point spreads. I mean, you have to travel. The point spread's not great. I can see well over 50% of the time that Iowa can win this football game. So I hope they do that. I hope they just get rid of what they said with Brian Ferentz, because it's taken away from the football team and the football players, and that's not right. And I think they should correct it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Now I got to talk about Iowa State. I'll do that right when I get back. Way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. I have uploaded all the podcasts, so you can go wherever you download them and listen to the show. We have a doubleheader tonight. Saints and Panthers, 6 o'clock pregame. And then the Browns and Steelers will be joined in progress. And then tomorrow we have Twins and Reds. The Minnesota Twins, I had this up. I'll have to, let me get back in here. I just had it pulled up and it went away, but the Minnesota Twins and the Cleveland Guardians are still battling. So are the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds are battling as well. Right now, as it stands, Minnesota has a 7.5 game lead. They are 6-4 in their last 10. The Guardians are 5-5. I know Scotty's, I'm not sure. I just looked at his schedule. I don't think he's here today or tomorrow. Tomorrow or Wednesday, but he comes back on Thursday. His Chicago Cubs are on a 5-game losing streak, so they're trying to keep their head above water. Cincinnati is a half a game behind them. They're 5-5. The Cubs are 2-8 in their last, and the Brewers are pulling away. They were 7-3. We were up in Milwaukee this weekend and sitting at a hotel bar when a bunch of Milwaukee Brewers fans came in, had a great time talking to them, as always. So this segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, mortgage, agriculture, and private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank, or you can view, as always, the Biz Buzz blog for their business insights, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account at Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Thank you very much, Northwest Bank. Okay, let's dive in. So, listen to the majority of the Iowa State. It was a rough weekend, folks. Listen, and Jennifer and I had time to talk about this when we were, you know, maneuvering along here, and I get, I get the whole fan thing. I truly believe this is why in the NFL playing fantasy football is what everybody likes to do. And I agree, because I'm not rooting for a whole team. I'm rooting for an individual. It hurts that Iowa State lost that game. And we as fans should understand with, you know, just some of the things that are going to go on. It's a young football team. I don't even know how to start this conversation, because I don't want to be that there. You will not hear anything come out of my mouth to say anything about the football players on Iowa State. Listening to the game, watching it on my phone, I thought Rocco Brek played a really good game, and I have some stats for him, and we'll go through that maybe a little bit later on the show. But no, I'm going to give them to you right now. Rocco Brek is playing far above his stats. This came from Alex Goofian. He has just two turnover-worthy plays on 89 dropbacks, yet he has three interceptions. He's third among Power 5 quarterbacks in evading pressure and being sacked on only 3.7% of plays with pressure. He's 17th among Power 5 quarterbacks in big-time throws. He only threw the ball 24 times. We had more rushing plays than that. We had 38 total yards rushing. So if you're going to get angry at something, that's how you get angry, is if we can't line up and throw our will at somebody and move people, then you have to take a step back and you have to figure it out and you have to scheme. That's what I heard this all weekend, and I heard it in a place that you would think you wouldn't have to hear it in, and that's the NFL. NFL teams that won this weekend weren't just happenstance and saying that the reason that we won and the reason that plays worked for us on offense or on defense is we won every single battle one-on-one. Because it doesn't happen. The teams that won this weekend, and Eric Bieniemy being one of them, and Andy Reid being one of them, and Mike McDaniel being one of them, they are scheming people open. When the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots were playing, New England Patriots were trying to man up and make yards. And the Miami Dolphins were scheming and getting chunks of yards. Old time thinking, new time thinking. If you don't have the horses to power through, you have to scheme. If we can't block one-on-one and win battles, then you have to pick your spots where you want to pick on somebody and add more blocking and try to break through it. We averaged 1.7 yards per carry. And you had to do it 38 times to realize it wasn't working? He threw the ball 24 times, 17 of them completed. A 9.7 average, a touchdown. The picks, I don't even think they were bad picks. We missed two field goals. We held that team to 10 points, even though they had more. I'm looking for team stats. Here we go. I was looking for time of possession. Time of possession. They had the ball for 35 minutes. We had the ball for 24 minutes. You're not going to win many football games if that's the way it is, if you can't be explosive. Rocco Brek can't be our leading rusher. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that, you know, you're watching the game and you're having people say, well, how come the offensive coordinator is sitting upstairs and he's not on the field? I thought about that for a while. I mean, I'd like him to be on the field. I'd like him to be on the field right next to J.J. Cole and sitting there and going and calling plays and having J.J. Cole just get all that mush coming in. Do I think he needs to be upstairs where he can see things? I don't. I think he needs somebody upstairs to be able to see things. Is that the reason we lost the football game? No, we lost the football game because we thought we could just power, and it didn't work. If it didn't work in the first half, it wasn't going to work in the second half. You have to come out and do something different. Now, I bled my heart out saying this about Brian Ferentz, and I think the restrictions that Gary Barta put on him were ridiculous. I hope they change it. I hope Sue Getzdis says, listen, it's not working. It's not helping us. It's a story that we don't need to tell every weekend. Just get rid of it. It's not the old regime. It's a new regime. I'm hoping it's the current regime and it's staying that way. Let her make a bold move and do that. You have to do the same thing here. Jamie's got to step in and go, listen, I'm not micromanaging and I love what we have going on here, but we have to show that it's working. And doing the same thing over and over again 38 times, hoping that we get a different direction, isn't working it out. That's not fair to the kids. It's not fair to the student athletes. That team has no reason in the world to be able to hold us to 1.7 rushing yards. If the University of Iowa couldn't do it, then I'm guaranteeing you that the Ohio Bobcats can't do it. That has to be a want-to, and the want-to comes from the player. But if the players aren't doing it, it has to come from somebody, and that somebody's the coaching staff. And if you wanted to get mad and angry, and I'm talking about Coach Campbell, if you wanted to get mad and angry, they get mad and angry at your press conference and say, I didn't like the way we played today. We're going to go back. We're going to change the way we do things. And we need to get tougher. We need to get more focused. That's the coaching staff's fault. And we're going to correct it. And we're going to bring these kids along. And we're going to be fine. We got our first Big 12 game. It's at home. And we're going to work our butts off. Don't walk out of the stadium and have some idiot say something to you and make yourself look bad. I mean, that's the time in your career that you're going to do that? All the things that have been said, that's the one that you blow up on? That just makes it worse. It's the Ohio Bobcats. It wasn't Oklahoma and Texas, who we have every right in the world to be ticked off at for leaving. It's the Ohio Bobcats. Don't care. Did it hurt to lose? Absolutely. It hurts to lose every game. Does it hurt to lose 10-7? Absolutely. Especially because we missed two field goals. We thought we had that taken care of. And it rears its ugly head the one time that we really needed it to work. Because then when you're going in and you're playing Oklahoma State and you're playing Oklahoma, those things are already in their mind going, I can do this. I'm perfect. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to sit here on the radio for either school and say, well, it was the gambling stuff. Who cares? Do I think the gambling stuff was irrelevant? Do I think that they probably did things that were illegal to find out what they found out? Absolutely. Do I think that it is going to have any bearing? I do on both sides, because you have kids that are going to miss a season. The defensive lineman up in Iowa City is a complete joke, and the rest of them, I listen, I don't understand how it only how the NCAA can make a stand on something that they only did at two universities. That alone should stop the investigation and just say, listen, if you want to suspend them for a game, go ahead. We're not suspending them for the season. This I had no idea what was going on, blah, 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 blah. And don't have the rest of the country and don't have talking heads on TV tell you, well, it's probably just not happening anywhere else, because that's a bunch of bunk. Even if it was happening in other places, I don't think that they would have suspensions in the thing that they're doing. The national champion had people that were driving and died in a car accident and nobody got in trouble. So stop with the gambled. It's a different time in social media. Thank God every day I'm 57 years old and I'm not 27 years old. I would be 27 years old or 17 years old back when I could be 17 years old. Just having a cell phone changed all that stuff. I can't imagine with social media the way it is today. So what do the Cyclones have to do? They have to go back. They have to circle things, and they have to go, we have to be able to do this. We have to be able to do this as a team. We need to work together, and we need to get out of this. We need to help the defense. Our special teams have to be good. We're young. We need to have repetition in practice. We need to know that these kids know what they're doing at all points and times. And if you have mess-ups, us as fans, stop blaming the kids. It's a process. If they're not getting it, you got to do a better job of making them get it. Is our season over? No. But once again, what I started talking about in the program, if you're looking for the promised land 5 years down the road, you have to be a top 40 football program in this country, in the United States, to be able to get into a conference that you can play for the national championship you want to play for. So we have to get better right now. University of Iowa needs to get better. They have a better history than we do. You don't, as a coaching staff, you don't, who cares what people say about you? Just help these young men go out and do what they know they can do, and you can teach them, because nobody's better at it than you guys are. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Good day, everybody. Welcome back in. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are out there. Go wherever you download your podcast and listen to the show. Tonight we have Saints Panthers, 6 o'clock pregame, so right after the show. And then we're going to join the Browns and Steelers in progress after the Saints and Panthers game. Tuesday, we have Twins at Reds, and then we'll have the new schedule come out tomorrow for what we have coming up this week. But I can tell you there's going to be football, and there's going to be some baseball, so that'll be good. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, program services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for more information about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. Okay, let's talk about some, you know, this is usually my potpourri sections, these last segments of the 2 hours. So let's start there. Colorado State player and family received death threats after a hit on Travis Hunter, which is going to be keeping him out for 3 games. Interesting thought process out there. Ejection Should he be out for as long as Hunter's out? I have no idea. You can't facilitate that in the middle of a season and have a rule change. I think they're going to have to look at that rule change to see what happened. And I'm going to give you one cause and one cause only: social media. We believe too much in social media. We dive into social media too much. You look at your feeds on social media and you think everything that's on your social media is true, and it's not. There's bots and there's all kinds of stuff and there's fake information and there's just things trying to get clicks because everybody gets paid by getting clicks. Should people be sending death threats to this family? No, it's a football game. It's a football game that has, I mean, these are 18 to 23 year olds that have a lot riding on every Saturday they have in football, and even more than that in basketball and wrestling and everything else that they do. Is it right? No. Is it fair? No. Is it going to happen? Yes. How you react to it and how you take it, that matters. I see stuff on social media all the time. I see stuff on social media saying that, you know, I just saw one the other day that said my show stunk. I'm like, man, that's awesome. One, can you do it? And two, is somebody going to pay you to do it? And if your answers are no, then leave me alone. I mean, that's how I looked at it. Now, that's the 57-year-old me. The 47-year-old me wouldn't have done that. I'd have wanted to go hunt people down. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he thinks. I finally came to the realization in doing this. It's something I like to do. Maybe it's because I like to hear myself talk. Could be. I'm an only child. I've been doing it for a long time, talking to myself. Maybe it's because I want to help people, that I can help Northwest Bank. I can help Woodman Controls. I can help Above and Beyond Cancer. I can help Broadlands. I can help Heritage Building Maintenance. I can help Palmer Group. I can help DMOS. I can help all these people. Or maybe somewhere, someplace, I've helped somebody. That's all that matters. And do I enjoy it? As I'm sitting here, I do. So I'm okay with that. I just, that's taking it too far. But for, if you're that player and you're that family, you have to realize how passionate these people are. I guarantee you they weren't saying nice things to you on the sidelines or when you were walking back into the locker room. Did you think it was going to get better on social media where there's no limitation to what they can do? This is a fun one. So this is part of my potpourri today. This is, are you kidding me? The NFL is filing a grievance against the NFL Players Association over allegations that the union advised running backs to consider feigning or exaggerating injuries to gain leverage in contract talks and seeking an order for the union to cease and desist from such improper conduct. Are you kidding me? Your legal team put that out there. Your legal team, who represents the owners of the NFL, who've colluded together to keep the running back salaries lower than they should be because they don't play for 10 years, because you use them up and use them too much to win you football games. Shut up. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know what? We're going to file a grievance against you because you're telling these guys if they're a little bit hurt, then they need to be a lot of bit hurt, and they don't need to be out there trying to hurt themselves more. It's no different than you guys at an owner's meeting say, you know what? The running back position is not as valuable as it used to be, and it's not as valuable as some of the other positions on the field, even though all the teams that are really good have a running game, and they shouldn't be paid what we've been paying them before, because even though we're owners and we have a lot of money, we're not the smartest people in a room. Wow. How in the world did the NFL put that out? You actually have people that may not be on your side or may be on your side that you just lost because you're doing the same thing. Oh, my goodness. I get it. Am I the only one that saw that today? I'm sitting in a room in Urbandale. Somebody help me out. I cannot believe it. There are this weekend in college football, there are six ranked matchups, ranked. It's the first time there has been this many ranked matchups on a September Saturday since 2006. That's a lot. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, so this was the biggest one, and I really need somebody to help me on this one. This is a little off base of sports. We lost an F-35 fighter plane today. Something malfunctioned. I almost said Malfoy. I watched Harry Potter this weekend. Something malfunctioned. Pilot ejects. We can't find the plane. There are mom and dads out here that can track your kids everywhere they go. And we can't find a, how much? It's $786 billion budget, and we can't afford an air tag on our jets. We are a third world country with a knockoff Gucci belt around us, huh? we can track people in jungles and in caves and underwater and see Milky Way planets billions of miles away, but we can't find a jet, or we can't find the jet and its wreckage somewhere in somebody's radar. Something didn't go boom. What are we talking about? It makes you think when you read the headline that this really didn't happen. It's somebody playing a joke on somebody. But it was on the news. I mean, it's one thing to be on social media, you know, and a lot of things on social media may not be true. We're going to talk about the NFL. Did anybody that was watching the Dolphins-Patriot games last night, did anybody think Bill Belichick was having any fun at all? Do you really think that his heart and his head is in this? I think his sole purpose with Tom Brady and all of this was to be able to say, I don't need Tom to do this. Why? I think that ship sailed. And if you're the New England Patriots, how long? They can't pass. They can't run. Their defense is on the field too much. So even if they are an elite squad, I mean, the best thing the New England Patriots did last night was give the rest of the NFL a reason to believe that they can now block a punt every now and then, which was a great play call. There is no doubt in the world that the New England Patriots have changed football over the last two decades just on coaching alone. But what they did was they gave everybody a playbook to do it, and now they can't find good enough people under the coaches that they have to be able to run their own system. They've outdone themselves and gave all their secrets away. And they don't have the best quarterback of all time anymore. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700. The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans, second hour on sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700. The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. We have great games tonight as well. Saints, Panthers, Bryce Young. Going up against Derek Carr. And we have Browns and Steelers joined in progress tonight. Huge game. Huge game for the Steelers. They don't want to go 0-2. Mike Tomlin doesn't like that. A huge game for the Cleveland Browns to see if that was a fluke last week or this is how they're going to be. I think that is a big time game and can't wait to watch that. Especially I'm a Ravens fan, so I want it to end like in a tie. Or they both, yeah, they can't both lose. Okay, I mean, I can't have everything. I get that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial service throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing a peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, I have to check one thing here, so I'm gonna talk about this. I'm gonna talk about two teams. And see where we think these two teams can become, go. I just don't know. So you have, on one hand, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I bet you didn't think that I was going to start talking about the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'm going to, because I'm going to compare something here really quick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now 2-0. They don't fit my description as a team that has a chance at making the playoffs or winning a Super Bowl because I'm not quite sure about their quarterback, and I don't like the fact that they have the defensive coordinator for a head coach. It's the first two things I start with. But they are 2-0. I have another team. The LA Chargers are 0-2. They are coached by defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. And unlike the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Baker Mayfield as their quarterback. The Los Angeles Chargers have Justin Herbert. I believe, even with his current circumstances, Justin Herbert is one of the top 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks in the National Football League. I would have the same for Baker Mayfield. I respect Baker Mayfield. I respect what he did in college. I respect what he's done in the NFL. I respect what he's done outside the NFL. He's talented. He's a lot of different things. He's not a playoff-winning, division-leading, Super Bowl-contending quarterback in the NFL. Maybe not even in the top 20 of quarterbacks in the NFL to do any of those things. Have a winning record, get to the playoffs, and win a Super Bowl. He might not be in the top 25, but he's winning a football game, and here is the reason why he's winning a football game. Baker Mayfield on third downs this season for the Tampa Bay Bucs. He's 20 of 23, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 0 sacks, a 132.1 passer rating. The most important down in football is third down to continue to move the football. 20 of 23 on third downs this year. This is Justin Herbert this past weekend. And the LA Chargers. Justin Herbert threw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. The defense sacked Ryan Tannehill 5 times. Derrick Henry didn't break 100 yards rushing, and the Chargers still lost the football game. Justin Herbert threw for 395 yards, Maybe, hold on. Let me check my glasses. Sorry. 305 yards. two touchdowns, and they lost the football game. So I'm like, okay, there has to be something deeper here, you know? So I pulled up box score. It wasn't turnovers. I can't understand it. And the way the game went, it was 14-10 at half. It was 17-14 fourth quarter. It ended up 24-24, and Tennessee kicked a field goal to win. It was in Tennessee. How many games can Brandon Staley, how many games can he lose that people can sit after going through game tape, which all these guys on TV do? I don't go through game tape. I don't have game tape. I don't watch every game. I go through box scores. And I try to take something from box scores. I don't understand how you can lose this game. Now, they only ran for 61 yards. Tennessee ran for 141. They had control of the ball. They had more time of possession. So I understand that. He threw for over 300 yards, didn't throw an interception. Those are games you have to win. And then you take that away and you look and you go and you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played the Chicago Bears. I truly believe that the Chicago Bears, I was bamboozled. I think the Chicago Bears may be the worst team in football. Because no matter what they do, they can't get out of their own way. They couldn't get out of their, even if they'd have picked all the right picks. He picked Matt Eberflus. Hadn't coached before, never been a head coach, defensive coordinator. You have a young quarterback that you spent draft capital on, and you don't bring in an offensive-minded head coach. First strike. Let me go. The Baker Mayfield this weekend was 26 of 34 for 317 yards. He had six to Mike Evans, he had five to Chris Godwin, he had six to Cade Otton, five to Rashad White, and then some scragglers in there. It doesn't show in here how many times he was sacked. It does. It says he wasn't sacked at all. Justin Fields was sacked six times. Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating was a 70. His bigger rating was 114.5. Justin Fields, he had two picks. He got sacked six times. His QBR was 23.1. His rating was 61.1. I don't know how many times he threw to DJ Moore. He completed six for 104, 33 long. He had two fumbles. The Chicago Bears are 0-2, and before you step on the field to start the season, people had them winning that division. I'm sorry. It's not just coaching, and it's not just the front office. This is a miss all the way through. And here's the crazy thing that's out there right now. Ryan Poles did not draft Justin Fields. That was the previous regime. Justin Fields is a mess. He doesn't have timing in his head. He's late in recognizing that he needs to take off and run. He's late in realizing that he needs to throw the ball away. He gets antsy and he doesn't throw accurately when he's in trouble, and he's not taking off and running. He had 4 carries for 3 yards. Justin Fields. Baker Mayfield had 6 carries for 17 yards. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Tampa Bay and Chicago would play and the MVP quarterback-wise in this game was Baker Mayfield, I'd have told you you were crazy. I would have told you I wouldn't even have thought Baker Mayfield would have been starting. And I don't think it's all Baker Mayfield's fault. I think people in the Cleveland Browns, I thought they ruined him enough that he wasn't ever going to be able to play again. You gave up draft capital like no other to get Justin Fields. And now you are getting closer to benching Justin Fields than you are of changing Justin Fields. That is a game-changing killer for these teams. We talked a little bit about the Thursday night game. The Kirk Cousins slander and Jalen Hurts, he's amazing, needs to stop. Jalen Hurts is a above medium, below high-end quarterback as it stands right now. That's an extremely, extremely, extremely flawed offensive team at times, especially if they have any injuries. I think their defense is improved, but they lost a lot of pieces. Do I think the Philadelphia Eagles are as good as they were last year? No. Do I think the Vikings are as bad as what their 0-2 record shows? No. It's another one of those ideas, right, that the general manager and the head coach, that wasn't their quarterback. I'm looking at the box score. Now, was Kirk Cousins have something to do with their loss last week? I believe so. Did he have anything to do with this loss this week? I do not believe so. He was 31 of 44, 364. He threw 4 touchdown passes. He was sacked twice. He had he didn't have any interceptions. Jalen Hurts was 18 of 23 for 193, had a touchdown, a pick, was sacked 4 times. His QBR was 45.7. Kirk Cousins' QBR was 83.6. The difference in this game, I'm telling you, is Philadelphia's coaching compared to Minnesota Vikings coaching. If you haven't picked up and you haven't watched football so far in these 2 weeks, this weekend, if you don't have a good ownership group, a good general manager, a good head coach, a good quarterback, an offensive coordinator that has everything that he needs to be the go-to and have a respectable defense, you cannot win in this league. Period. And I have them right here. And I this is probably going a little early, and I'll talk about some of the other games. I'm looking at that to see what fits that criteria. Who fits this criteria in here? Okay, I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins. They're 2-0. They fit the criteria. I'm looking at the New York Jets. They're 1-1. They do not. I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills. I think it's still out there. They have a defensive coordinator for a coach. I don't know how well Josh Allen and his offensive coordinator, who I think is really good, a hothead, but I think he's really good. The New England Patriots, no way. I don't know if they trust their quarterback. I don't think their coach can coach in this, and I don't think that Bill Belichick being your general manager gets you into the top echelon in this league. The Baltimore Ravens, I think they have the quarterback. I think they have the coaching. Sometimes I don't know if they have everything in the general manager's side of it. It looks different than it has before. The Cleveland Browns, I don't know. I don't even know where to start. Because you never know what Deshaun Watson's going to do. You don't know what this is taken out of him. You don't know that they paid him all that money if he's got that much vested. Do I like all the pieces? No. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I like the pieces. I just don't know if it works. That's the hardest team in this to do because I love everything about them. I don't know if they've got the right quarterback. I don't know, you know, Mike Tomlin's role. Here's Mike Tomlin's role. He's never going to be anything but 9-8 and above. And that's not a bad thing for a lot of these people. Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know. I don't think their roster's as talented as it needs to be. And I don't know if Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow are on the same page. That got us through two of these. And right now it's the Miami Dolphins and maybe the Buffalo Bills and maybe the Baltimore Ravens. And that's two whole conferences. That 8 team, 2 out of 8. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're going to continue on with NFL. We'll talk about the game. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Please drive safely home tonight. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. Saints and Panthers. I'm going to be very interested in how Bryce Young does tonight against that Saints defense. C.J. Stroud had a really good, they didn't have what they needed, but I think he had a really good game. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Then we have the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers. What a huge game for the AFC and especially in that AFC North. So we just got done talking about, hold on. Who do I have? I have that one. Broadlawns Medical Center. Couple of things. Rose Soiree. You can go on Facebook, Broadlawn's Facebook page, see a bunch of pictures from there. Had a great time. It was a celebration for their birthing center. Amazing stories. Amazing people running that part of the organization. Stories, intellect, caring, loving, amazing. The medical clinic in Drake, at close right there by Drake, just to the east of the Walgreens store. It's a magnificent building. In the real job, I manage some clinics, and the biggest thing that you want to do is you want to have the ability that when you walk in, there is ease, comfort, and flexibility and helpfulness and all of that, all in one. This place has that times 1,000. Tall ceilings, art that makes you just take a deep breath and let it out. It takes away the, I don't want to go. It just takes that away. And That's a really awesome thing, and it is a great thing for Broadlawns Medical Center, and thank you to the marketing team, and thank you to the management team and all the people involved. It's an amazing place and only getting better on a daily basis, which is a lot of fun. Okay, I just wanted to get down through here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they did not play well yesterday, and they still have some issues to work out. I like the coach. I like the quarterback. I like the front office. I think they have it going on. Their issue right now is they had a lot of stench still on them from Urban Meyer hire, and you got to work that out. But if anybody out there after watching on Sunday doesn't think that Trevor Lawrence is amazing, an amazing young man and quarterback, you're crazy. The Colts, talking about everything that we've talked about, if you were looking, oh my gosh, who had the most impactful quarterback drafted in this year's draft? It's the Indianapolis Colts. But you have to keep him on the field. So you have to teach him. It's the same thing that happened to Lamar Jackson. You have to teach them. Yes, you are superior in your athletic ability than anybody else that's on the field. Still doesn't mean that you can take the hits you're taking. That's two games with two huge hits that he was leading his club to wins. You have to recognize that and finish that. The Tennessee Titans, no. Love their coach. I really do. How can you not like him? It's not even an issue. What I don't like is you don't have a serviceable quarterback. You have a running back that doesn't fit what the NFL is anymore. And I'll give you a perfect example. Is Travis Etienne with the Jacksonville Jaguars a better running back than Derrick Henry? No, not yet. Does he fit the NFL and what the NFL is trying to do? Absolutely. Does Derrick Henry? No. And that's an issue. It's not coaching. Mike Vrabel, he's really, really good. Ownership isn't always on his side. I don't believe the dollars are going to be there. I think they've spent the dollars in the wrong places, so it's kind of hard to trust that. The Houston Texans, these are baby steps. I like where they're headed. I like who they have. Even though he's a defensive coordinator, if you're going to have a defensive coordinator in the NFL, he has to be a leader of men, and he is definitely that. And so I'm curious to see if they can turn it around. I think it's very interesting. I think they're going to be okay. I think CJ Stroud had a game. I mean, he is not a joke. They just have a lot. I mean, they're set up for the next three drafts. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. The Las Vegas Raiders, no. They're 1-1. It's just not there. The Kansas City Chiefs, it's already said and done. The LA Chargers, I do not think that they have things in place for the quarterback that they have, and they're setting him back for years to come if they don't change. I don't know if he makes it, if the head coach makes it out of the first half of the season. And I think everybody understands what we're looking at with Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. And the one thing that we're not looking at is a Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, long-term thing. This is one of those times that Sean Payton has to walk in, and I'm trying to remember if they're the Amazon money or the Walmart money, whichever one it is, it doesn't matter. It's a lot. I think it's the Walmart money. I think it's the Waltons. You have to say, the prior regime did not do a good job and they did not help you with this football team. We need to make a change. Russell Wilson does not fit what Doug Peterson needs at all. The Dallas Cowboys. With that defense and that much talent on both sides of the ball, they have to be there. And it's karma getting them. It's Jerry Jones. I just don't know if the football gods are going to allow that to happen. The Philadelphia Eagles are a very interesting team. I don't know how good they are. They lost a lot of people. They have a lot of talent. Coaching staff is really young. I like him. I like him a lot. It's a really tough division. It's going to be very interesting. Washington Commanders. I do not know if Sam Howell is the answer. Here's what I do know. They're 2-0, and I think Eric Bieniemy is doing a great job. They have a defensive coordinator for a head coach, but he brought him in for a reason. They have to be able to score points. They're 2-0. They've scored 55. They've given up 49. They're plus six. You live with that. The New York Giants. I just don't know about Daniel Jones. I think that you can throw out the game against the Cowboys, and hopefully you can throw out the first half against the Arizona Cardinals, and you can look at the second half in that and go, okay, I can see where this can work. I love Brian Daboll. I think he has a chance. I think the Green Bay Packers, I think Jordy Love's going to be fine. Is he an elite quarterback? No. Is he a good quarterback? Sure seems like it. It's an offensive coordinator. Anybody out there, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you are not the same organization as every other single organization in the NFL. You don't have the same amount of money. You don't have the ease of doing things. You have restrictions placed on you because of what you are. Does that mean that you can't make the playoffs? Nope. Does that mean it's easy to make the playoffs? Nope. I don't think so. I really don't. The Detroit Lions, I think they're headed in the right direction. I didn't know which one Sirianni or Dan Campbell had the worst opening press conference. I have no idea how I'd be in a press conference. I'd probably be the same. I think they have a serviceable quarterback. So I think the things are there. They had a couple of bad luck things. I was expecting better for them. The Minnesota Vikings, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I believe that Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback, but I don't know if the rest of the group's coming with him. I don't know if I like the head coach. I don't know if I like the front office. I don't know if they can be trusted. The Chicago Bears are lost. It's a loss. Justin Fields, as it stands right now, is not a serviceable quarterback in the NFL because he doesn't know how to get rid of a football. He has no idea in the world, and he doesn't scramble. He scrambles and he moves around to try to scramble and move around. Patrick Mahomes scrambles, stops, tries to find one more place to pass, scrambles some more, stops, tries to find a place to pass, and if it doesn't work, he runs. He very rarely takes a sack. He very rarely takes a bad sack. I can't tell you, besides running a little bit, anything that Justin Fields. I don't know if that's Justin Fields' fault. I don't think Matt Eberflus was a great hire. I thought it was a horrific hire. I thought Ryan Pace had a good draft, but a horrible hire. I don't know what you do if you're Chicago Bears. If I'm Atlanta Falcons, I'm pretty happy. I'm 2-0. Maybe I got a quarterback in Desmond Ridder. I have a running back in Bijan Robinson. I have a little bit of a defense. I don't mind anything that they're doing. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're 2-0. I have no idea in the world what to even think. Nothing makes sense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they haven't been easy games either. New Orleans Saints, I think it depends. And the Carolina Panthers, I think it depends on how they do tonight. I think the Panthers are going to be fine. I think they may have their quarterback. It's going to be interesting. The San Francisco 49ers, you have to love their front office. And for everybody out there who said, well, the San Francisco 49ers are in trouble because they gave all that up for Trey Lance and look where they're going to be. That all got washed with Brock Purdy. And it's not because Brock Purdy is a better quarterback. I don't know if we know that because we don't know what Trey Lance really is. He's a great, serviceable quarterback for this team and keeps improving game to game. Now, he understands. He made some misses yesterday, where he had big, that could have been a four more touchdown game. He just missed a couple of throws. I think that's still part of the thing. Hey, I don't want to get my arm hit. I don't want to take a hit. And maybe I let go of the ball too quick. But he makes them the best team in football right now because they don't have any money invested in him, and they have money invested on everybody else, and he just wins them football games. The LA Rams, Matthew Stafford looked revitalized in the first half and then looked like he was dead tired in the second half. The Seattle Seahawks eked the game out against the Lions yesterday. Probably shouldn't have. Don't know about Geno Smith. Love Pete Carroll as a human, a person. He'd be a great uncle. But don't know if he's what the Seattle Seahawks need to win football games and get them back to where they were. And the Arizona Cardinals aren't trying. And they're still not that bad of a football team not trying. So if you went off of what I said, I mean, seriously, you have the Dolphins and the Bills. There's two. The Ravens, three. The Jaguars, four. The Kansas City Chiefs, five. So you have five in the American Football Conference that I think the playoff meter is very high for. I think the Cowboys and the Eagles, and I think the Commanders are closer when they are, but I won't put them in there yet. I think the Packers and I don't think the Giants are there quite yet. I think the Packers and the Lions are close. I think the Vikings are not. I mean, I don't trust Desmond Ridder enough and Baker Mayfield. If he does that for the whole season, he's got everybody bamboozled. And I think you have the 49ers and I think maybe the Seahawks. There's just not that many teams that are going to come out and dominate and be in the, to be that guy, that team, that coach. As much as we love the NFL, are we really looking at the NFL and going 32 teams? And maybe there's eight teams with the right kind of compilation of parts, which is important. It's the whole parts thing. Is that enough? I don't know. I want to know if there's one out there that's not in my grouping that I had, who would it be? And I thought it might be the Pittsburgh Steelers until they played that game last weekend. We'll see how they do tonight, playing the Browns. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Chance, real sports talk for real sports fans. Last segment. Welcome back in. Once again, happy Monday, everybody. Drive safely. Last segment on this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. We also have Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have Saints Panthers tonight, 6 o'clock pregame. And then we have the Browns and Steelers are going to be joined in progress. And we have joining in progress tomorrow, the Twins and the Reds. And we'll have the new schedule up for next week. This is an issue. So, let me get through this. I'm sorry. I was just ready to start going. I want to thank Broadlawns Medical Center, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of our program. Couldn't do this program without you, so thank you very much. Okay, just a little potpourri here. The Bears have now lost 12 consecutive games and allowed 25-plus points in all of them. That is the longest streak of its kind in NFL history, and they play in Kansas City on Sunday. And don't think that there won't be people betting that way and the football gods will change it and they'll have their breakout game against the Kansas City Chiefs because everybody gets up. That's the Super Bowl for everybody because they are the measuring stick in the NFL. This is stuff that we're seeing way too much of, and not to get on a soapbox here, but today three Lincoln High School staff members were assaulted by students. That can't happen, folks. We've got to dial this back some. That's unacceptable. it's already one of the toughest jobs in the world, trying to educate human beings, young human beings, and make them what we need to have them be to take care of us and to lead this country. We can't have that. It can't happen. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So somebody sent this to me today. He said, Wall Street Journal, the New York meeting of billionaires, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, David Rockefeller, George Soros, Ted Turner, Oprah. I love the fact that she's just Oprah now. Michael Bloomberg and many others. The issues discussed in the top secret meetings included healthcare, education, and by far the most controversial, the billionaires are trying to think of ways that they can shrink world population. Now, as drastic and eerie that sounds, we are getting precariously close to being overpopulated in many areas across the world. I have to say that. Probably not the headline they wanted coming out of their meeting. We get a little anxious anyway when you have a bunch of billionaires meeting with a bunch of us that aren't billionaires being the majority of the workforce. The football rankings came out for Class 5A. Not a lot of changes. Southeast Polk is 1, Dowling is 2. I think that game comes up in a couple of weeks. Bentendorf was 3, Pleasant Valley was 4, Waukee was 5, Ankeny Centennial was 6, Cedar Rapids Kennedy was 7, Ankeny was 8, Waukee Northwest 9, and Johnston 10. Interesting. Sahith Fagala, one of my favorite golfers, especially him and Matt Fitzpatrick were two of my favorite things on Netflix golf swing or whatever it was called. He won his first tournament. He's been close. If this young man gets confidence in his putting and can tweak his waywardness sometimes on his drives, man, this is a kid that could go a long, long ways. Let me see if I have this. Thoughts and prayers to Gary Woodland. He undergoes brain surgery today. He has a tumor, and I hope things go well. Here's my next. Ben Simmons. Maybe Ben Simmons is starting. This is like the third or fourth post that I've seen for Ben Simmons. I owe it to everybody, the fans and everybody, to get back to where I need to be. That's what I did this summer, to get back, get ready for a great year. I think it's going to be exciting, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I want the kid to be good. Even though he couldn't shoot before, without everything else, he was one of the better players. He was fun to watch. He was almost averaging a triple-double. I hope he can come back and play. I every day I hope that. I just do. I wanted to so there hasn't been any more social media about the missing jet unless somebody else has seen it and I haven't. But it seems odd to me that we are missing a jet somewhere. $70 million fighter jet, and it just disappeared off the radar screen. I don't know how that works exactly. Once again, the Kansas City Chiefs have restructured Patrick Mahomes' contract. It's big, folks. Really, really big. And 210 over the last 4 years, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026. And then they can look at it again in another 2 years after that. They're just going to keep doing it and keep him in the top five or six quarterbacks paid. He has told them all along he doesn't want to be one, but he also doesn't want to drop out of the top 10. And I don't blame him for that at all. This was on here today, and it says, rank these quarterbacks from best to worst. And it had Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. I think the easy part is that you rank Patrick Mahomes first. And then if you take away coaching and you take away their team and you only look at talent, I don't know if it's hard to not respect and love Justin Herbert because of his size. And if I'm comparing Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, I think Jalen Hurts might be a little bit better thrower of the ball, might be a little bit more at ease throwing the ball. But I watched Lamar Jackson yesterday running away from people that, I mean, his athletic ability is crazy. Joe Burrow's the sticking point. What we saw Joe Burrow do yesterday was not what we expect Joe Burrow to be, and he's still, I think his calf is still not good. So that's going to be really interesting. Here's the quarterbacks of 2-0 teams and quarterbacks of 0-2 teams. And that is it's really interesting. So Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, Sam Howell, and Desmond Ridder are 2-0. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, C.J. Stroud, and Joshua Dobbs are 0-2. If you take out C.J. Stroud and Joshua Dobbs, C.J. being a rookie, Joshua Dobbs being a role player, more or less, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. That's a lot of guys making a lot of money, and they're 0-2. And out of all of them, except for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, I don't know who you have to blame for that. I really don't. I don't know if it's more on ownership, coaching staffs. I can't tell you an honest answer who I'm blaming. The fact that Baker Mayfield's doing that is the surprise of football. Sam Howell with Eric Bieniemy, I don't know what to expect. And Desmond Ridder, I like Arthur. I think it's going to be fine. I feel bad for Justin Herbert. I feel bad for Joe Burrow. I feel bad for Kirk Cousins. I just don't know if Russell Wilson has that same capability anymore. I feel bad for Justin Fields. He didn't have somebody. This is the thing that I'm thinking right now. If you're telling me that Justin Fields couldn't be in San Francisco and doing what Brock Purdy is doing, or he couldn't be in Kansas City doing what Patrick Mahomes is doing because of coaching, if you can tell me that nope, I don't think that would change him. I don't know if that's true. He didn't have good coaching his first year. He had horrible coaching. And I don't know if it's any better. Mac Jones, I don't think that Bill Belichick has done him right. You don't have him have two guys that have never been an offensive coordinator when he's trying to learn stuff. I just don't get it. I think C.J. Stroud, and I think Joshua Dobbs is a better football player than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I appreciate you being in today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back in here tomorrow. We got plenty to talk about. See you then.